Yeah. What's he going to do tonight? I don't know.
Kof Gimel Iyar, Tuesday the 12th of May, Rabbi Chaim Rappaport, Birkas Kohanim.
Good morning, Moriah and Rabbi Isai. We are approaching the Yom Tov of Shavuos, as I'm sure you've heard from more than one speaker. And one of the highlights of Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz, at least, is that we fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of Birchas Kohanim. And the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tefillah Unasiyas Kapayim Perek Yudalad that the mitzvah of Unasiyas Kapayim is once a day, midaraisa. For a variety of reasons, this doesn't happen in Chutz Laaretz. It doesn't actually say in the Torah how many times. It's a pasuk in Parshas Nosoi, in the book of Bamidbar, chapter 6. Kois of Aruch Hu Etzpani Yisrael Amalahem. It doesn't say whether it should be once a day, once a lifetime, or once a year. But the Levush, Rabbi Mordechai Yaffa, in his classical Halacha Sefer on Eirach Haim Siman Kufchov Ches, says that whenever the Torah gives a mitzvah bistomo, without specifying how many times and how often it should be fulfilled, then one must assume that once a day is the norm. The same, of course, then would apply to a mitzvah like tefillin, where it also doesn't say in the Torah how many times you should do it. So again, most opinions assume that the mitzvah of tefillin is once a day. Now, I don't intend to go into this morning the long question of why in Chutz Laaretz the practice has become to limit Birchas Kohanim to be fulfilled on Yomim Tovim. However, it should be mentioned that we're not really transgressing, as the Mefarshei Nesek Leah Shulchan Aruch explain. We're not in any way being mevatel mitzvah saseh, because the mitzvah saseh for the kohanim to be mevorech the people is only when they have been summoned to do so by the chazan or someone else in the community saying kohanim. In the absence of such a calling, then the kohanim don't fail to fulfill their mitzvah saseh, or not, shall we say, they've not been mevatel their mitzvah saseh. And that's why they're not actually being over on an assay by not giving Birchas Kohanim. Nevertheless, it's clear that the Rotzon HaTorah was the Birchas Kohanim should take place every day, and in Golos and Chutz Laaretz we don't have this advantage. I want to speak about one specific issue. There are various disputes b'negiah to Birchas Kohanim. One, for example, is whether the Kohanim should recite the Brocha Birkas HaMitzvah, which they recite before the mitzvah, Asher Kedushonu B'Kedushosu Shel Aharon Mitzvonu Levorech Sam Yisrael Bahava, facing the Aron HaKodesh, or they should recite it facing the people. And the common Ashkenazi compromise is that they start the Brocha facing the Aron HaKodesh, and in the middle of the Brocha they turn around to face the people. But there is another issue which is often less discussed.
Isn't it a bizarre to have your back to the Aron HaKodesh?
Pardon?
Isn't it a bizarre to have your back to the Aron HaKodesh?
Indeed, someone is asking about the fact that it might be a bizarre to have your back to the Aron HaKodesh, but that bizarre would be overridden if the mitzvah is that the bracha should be recited facing the people. In fact, you could argue that the Birchas Kohanim itself, where you face the people, is a bizarre because the Kohanim turn their backs to the Aron HaKodesh. And we know that it is a degradation to turn one's back to the Aron HaKodesh. The Mishnah in Sukkah says, "Aviseinu shoy b'mokam hazeh, they had achireihem klapei ha'eichol, ofneihem keidmo klapei ha'shemesh." And this was considered a great bizoyin. Okay, here it's not klapei ha'shemesh, but still. And the Oir Someach, Rabbi Meir Simcha V'Tvinsk, says that when the Kohanim, after having delivered the blessing, say, "Ribono shaloylo mosinu ma'ashe gozarto oleinu," Ma'ashe gozarto oleinu, it's seen as a decree, says the Oir Someach, that refers specifically to this element, that they turn their backs to the Aron HaKodesh in order to deliver the bracha to the people. This is, what Rabbi Meir Simcha says, is a gezeirah. God, you have told us that this is what we have to do. We have to turn our backs to the Aron HaKodesh and face the people, because it says, Omer Lahem, and the Gemara in Sefer Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph says, from this we learn So we have to face the people, ponim keneged ponim. That's just by the way in response to your question. But getting back to the main theme, there is another issue. When the Kohenim give the bracha, should they raise their hands before they recite Birkas HaMitzvah, or should they raise their hands after they recite Birkas HaMitzvah? The Mishnah Berurah, for example, does not discuss this. But in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, in Siman Kuf Chof Ches, he discusses this and he says explicitly that the bracha should be made after they said the Birkas HaMitzvah. So only once the Kohenim are facing the community, the bracha of Birkas HaMitzvah should be, the hands should only be raised, I apologize, the hands of the Kohenim should be raised only after they have said the Birkas HaMitzvah. That's what he says. And his ruling in this regard is quoted Remaisa by Reb Sholem Modcha HaKohen Shvadron, the Maharsham, the Brezhaner of, in his Sefer Tchelas Modcha, in his instructions for the Kohenim, and in some other Sforim. Now this is an interesting point. That means that the Kohenim should finish off Asher Kedushon Abitishol Sori Shal Aron Vitzivonu Devorah Tassam Yisrael Ba'ahavo, by which time, according to all opinions, they are now facing the community. And only at this stage should they raise their hands, not earlier. There are some sources that indicate otherwise. For example, in the Sefer Pa'aneach Rozo from Kadmoin on Parshas Nosoi, he actually says explicitly that the Kohenim should raise their hands, Messias Kapayim, before they recite the Birkas HaMitzvah. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, no, wait till after Vitzivonu Levorech Hasam Yisroel Ba'avo, and only then raise your hands. And he gives a reason. If you ask different Kohenim, you will find three opinions. Those who do, like it says in Shulchan Aruch Rav, those who don't, and those who don't know what they do. Because they're so caught up in the ecstasy of the moment that they can't actually remember when they raised their hands. But there is no contemporary Pesach that I have seen that says explicitly otherwise. And as I said, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be silent on this matter. What is the basis for the reason of the Shulchan Aruch Rav? He says, because the principle is that kol ha-mitzvah skulon mevorech alehen oivel asiyosom, you're supposed to make a bracha before you do the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, before you do the act of the mitzvah. And therefore, he says, the raising of the hands is an intrinsic and integral part of the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. The act of the mitzvah is raising the hands and blessing. There are two component parts to the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah of Messias Kapayim stroke Birkas Kohenim. One is the raising of the hands, and the other is the amiras ha-brocha yivarechecha. Therefore, since you have to make the brocha before you do the mitzvah, therefore, it is necessary to say the bracha and only then raise the hands. Now, this is a chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? Because without the Shulchan Aruch Rav, you could say the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah is yivarechecha, to give a blessing, koyisavarechu. And anything else is just laws about how you have to do it. For example, the Gemara says on the Shulchan Aruch site that you have to stand when you're doing Birkas Kohenim. But we wouldn't say that standing is part of the ma'aseh mitzvah. Standing is a t'nai. When you do this mitzvah, you have to be standing. The mitzvah isn't to stand. So, you could say, when you have to give Birkas Kohenim, you have to be standing, and you have to have your hands raised. But these two are just conditions to knowing which posture you have to be in when you are fulfilling the mitzvah of Birkas Kohenim. Shulchan Aruch Rav here is mechadesh. No. That the Nesias Kapayim is not a t'nai in the mitzvah. It is meguf ve'etzem ha-mitzvah. That the mitzvah is to raise one's hands and to bless. Hence, I suppose, the name that it's called Nesias Kapayim in many places, the mitzvah. Now, it might seem like a little detail, but I actually wanted to suggest a source for this in a Gemara Mufureshes, which in and of itself is very interesting. There's a Gemara in Baruchas, Tav Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan said, Kohen Shehoragas HaNefesh, a Kohen who killed someone, no Yisrael's Kapov, must not raise his hands in Duchenin. for Birchas Kohanim. Mustn't duchen. He's, why? Because there's a pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 1 where it says, "Ubeforischem kapeichem alim einai mikem, gam kisar busifilo ineni shimea, yideichem domim moleu." When you raise your hands, I will turn a blind eye. Poshet Pshat, the pasuk is talking about priestess kapayim bitfilo. The Gemara dashens it to refer to raising the hands in the midst of Birchas Kohanim. And it says, the reason I will turn a blind eye is because your hands are filled with blood. And therefore, Kohen Sharagas Nefesh mustn't do it. The Magen Avraham, in the name of Rabbi Levi Ibn Chovich, says that it doesn't apply to a doctor who has performed an abortion, for example, to someone who has killed a fetus. But it would apply, I think, to a doctor who has engaged in assisted suicide. If he does teshuvah, then it's different. There's a machlekes of a Kohen who holds Haragas Nefesh, and the teshuvah is a machlekes Mechaber Ramah, whether he can do it or not. Tosfos in Yevamos Daf Zayin in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Hey asks the question. Wait a minute. We find in the Gemara that a Kohen Shehoragas Nefesh, if he does the Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, his Avodah is acceptable. Me'im Mizbechenit, Me'im Mizbechi Tikachenu Lamus, Me'im Mizbechi V'loyal Mizbechi. That if a Kohen who killed someone and he ran, and he is now engaged in the Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, you don't take him away in the middle, but the implication is that the Avodah that he does in the Beis Hamikdash is kosher. So that the Chakashi, Yatsira, Bahara, the Gimura, B'Shmishma, how could it be that a Kohen that killed someone, his Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash is kosher? But his Nesias Kapayim, his Birchas Kohanim is not acceptable. Kohen Shehorag HaSanefesh Lo Yisra Es Kapov Shedam HaYedeichem Domim Aleihu. So Tosfos answers two tirutzim. The first one tirutz is it's a chumra ba'alma. It's a mere stringency. A stringency the Chachamim for one reason decided to impose a stringency. Maybe it's a knas. Who knows? A stringency legabe the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. The other tirutz says Tosfos lefi shehorag biyodov, because the kohen killed with his hands, ein kategor nase saneka. The accuser cannot become the defender. Are you listening carefully? Lefi shehorag biyodo, because the Kohen killed with his hands, ein kategor nasa sanega, those hands which served as a tool with which to deliver the blow of death, cannot become the sanego to be mamshich, the brocha, the blessing, the divine blessing for the Jewish people. Wait a minute, shtolzach do aposh the kasha. What's it got to do with the hands? He's not blessing with his hands. He's blessing with his mouth. Kois of Orchus Bnei Yisrael, Omoy Lohem, Yivarechecho Hashem v'yishmerecho, Yoyer Hashem ponu v'lecho v'chuneko, Yisra Hashem ponu v'lecho yosem v'chosholim. So where do the hands come into the discussion, into the equation? But according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, we can understand it. Because he says no. That amidst the raising of the hands, the Nesias Kapayim is not an ancillary or a condition or a stipulation that the Kohen must have his hands raised whilst he's giving the bracha. The raising of the hands is miguf etzamemetz, it is from the very body of the commandment. And why is it? Because it is actually the raising of the hands that is instrumental in delivering the blessing. The blessing, as it were, flows, for want of a better expression, through the hands of the Kohen. And therefore, if that is the case, so then we can understand what Tosfos is saying. Lefi shehorag biyodov, if those hands are served as a katego, those hands can't serve as a sanego. For example, if killing would ordinarily be done with a person's feet, if, ilu yitzuya, hypothetically, the normal tool for murder would be a foot, not a hand. Yes, we wouldn't say that a Kohen can't duchen because lefi shehorag b'raglov, yes, he can't duchen because he needs to be standing during the Nesias Kapayim. And he can't stand if he doesn't have any feet. Yes? Why not? Because the feet is not, the mitzvah isn't the feet. Standing is merely a t'nai. It's mitinoi ha-mitzvah. When you are giving Birchas Kohanim, you have to be standing. But that doesn't mean that the mitzvah has got anything to do with standing. But when it comes to Nesias Kapayim, the Nesias Kapayim That is Megufa Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is not to bless with raised hands and with standing feet. The Mitzvah is to bless the Nesias Kapayim. And everything else is only Mitzvah HaMitzvah. So if the Nesias Kapayim becomes an intrinsic part, then there is no issue of... Then there's a problem of Inka Tegin Asas Aligra. At least according to this Pshat in Tosis, this serves as a Shtikol Yusoid. Now there's a Gemara in Sukkah.
According to that Tosis, if he killed without his Yudai?
I don't think it makes a difference, because I think there's a Loi Plug. I think there is, since the normative method of killing is with the hands, so we don't make any distinction.
That Tosis is loved after Kapayim. He means that...
No, he doesn't. He means the Kapayim, because the Kapayim... First of all, yesh lachter, I don't know. Maybe taka, according to that shit in Tosis, maybe not. Yeah? But even if he does, the laws of the Torah, even both the Isis and the Rabbonans, are often an oifen of loy plug. Since the normal way is through the hands, so therefore the law was made according to the normal way of doing it. This we find in many places.
According now, to that, it is to raise the hands before the law.
No. That's why, that's the whole word. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says... He should make the bracha shekidishonu b'kedushosu shel Aaron before he raises his hands. If raising his hands was just a posture that he has to be in, so just like he can be standing before he makes the bracha shekidishonu b'kedushosu shel Aaron, he can raise his hands as well before. Who cares when he's raised? As far as I'm concerned, he can have his hands raised from dawn. Yeah? Not at then. Yeah? Or like in the case where they discussed by Arba Minim, he can have his hands raised before dawn, when it's not the time yet for Bechas, for Nesias Kapayim. He has to be in a matzav of Nesias Kapayim when he does the brachot. But if you say that Nesias Kapayim is Memaiseh HaMitzvah, this mitzvah has got to be done by Goyim, and it's got to be done according to all the conditions of the mitzvah. Therefore, it has to be done during daylight time. It has to be done after he has made the bracha, which is Oyevel HaSiyoson, Asher Kedishon HaMitzvah Shasham, because this is the mitzvah. You can't do a chelik of the mitzvah before you've said the bracha beforehand. And that's the yesoid, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that you should not, the Kohenim should not raise their hands. Whichever way they're standing, this way, that way, or the other way, or halfway in the middle, that's a separate issue. They should not raise their hands until after they have concluded the word Be'ahava, and before they say Yivarech. Now, one second, I have to carry on, and we'll take other questions later. There is, if it's for clarification, because there is a discussion amongst the Achronim. It is customary... When the Kohenim come down from the Nesias Kapayim, the Kohol, or individual amongst the Kohol, say to them, Yasha Koyach. It's an old custom. The Rashash of Masechta Shviyas asks, why do you say Yasha Koyach? It's their mitzvah. But the truth is, we find that you can do HaKoros HaToyev even when someone does their mitzvah. Kibudov HaEim Yechiyach. Parents are supposed to bring up their children, and nevertheless, we're supposed to be Makir Toyev. At any rate, we say Yasha Koyach. And then, reciprocally, the Kohenim say, Bruchim to you. So someone once asked, Pesach Frank, and others have asked the same question, that the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, and that's for Chesamut Beis, from whence do we know that the Kohenim mustn't add to the brachas of the Torah, like, for example, Yosef Hashem Aleichem Kechem Elech Pa'omim, that if the Kohenim add a fourth blessing to Yivarechicha, your Eil, and Yisah, they have been Oiveir on Baal Tosef. So they said, if the Kohenim say, Baruchim to you, is the fourth bracha. So it's Baal Tosef. It's Gevoran Agansa Shaila, whether the Kohenim can say Baruchim to you, or they can't say Baruchim to you. For you go for practical information, the Har Tzvi is not concerned about it. But, the truth is that there's a raya from a ritva. The ritva in Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis asks the following question. There the Gemara discusses Baal Tosif, Legabe, the Lulav, and the four species on Sukkot, where it says clearly that if you hold Tzorich Agad, that the Lulav has got to be bound with the other species, and if you add an additional mean, then you're over on Baal Tosif. But if you hold Lulav Ein Tzorich Agad, so then there's no Baal Tosif, because Ha'ilechudikoi v'Ha'ilechudikoi, each mean stands independently. Baal Tosif is only where the additional item or element that you add to the commandment is bound, or good. Otherwise, it's a completely different thing. So the Ritva there asked, wait a minute, Kabbalah and Rosh Hashanah says that if he had the fourth blessing to be a spreading over in Balto Yisif. But how is the fourth blessing bound to the other three blessings? That's what the Ritva answers. He says, you know how? Because they all said Benesias Kapayim, with raised hands. So what? They're all said standing. They're all said in Hebrew. Why does the Nesias Kapayim have the koyach to bind the Yosef Hashem Aleichem, the fourth blessing, with the other brachas? The answer, according to this, is because Nesias Kapayim is not just mitzuras amitzvah, the way that you're supposed to be standing when you deliver the blessing. Nesias Kapayim is miguf hamitzvah. So long as you haven't put your hands down, you haven't finished the maisa hamitzvah. And if you then chaparayin, another bracha, so in that way the additional fourth bracha becomes ogud to the other blessings, and therefore that's how you're over on Baal Toysi. So I think that from this ritva as well, there's a shtikul raya that Nesias Kapayim, there's a smuchin to the idea that Nesias Kapayim is more than any other conditions of bodily posture that must be obtained during the blessing. It is migufet, sama mitzvah, and that's why it can bind the other brachas with the bracha of the new bracha with the bracha of Birchas Kohanim, as we spoke earlier in the name of the Shulchan Aruch.
It's not the lashon of the bracha given in the Torah, one should say.
What's not the lashon? No, that's got nothing to do with the bracha. This is something a person said Yashik Koyach. It's got nothing to do with the Torah. Someone says Yashik Koyach, so a person who gives a bracha, so it's a...
Specifically supposed to yes. Say those three
psukim. That's the mitzvah of the Torah when you're on the duchan facing the people. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to wish a person Shalom Aleichem or Baruch Haba or any other blessing or bruchim to you the rest of the day. So therefore, there's no problem. Lemaisa, anyway, the Achronim say this. I'm just telling you that according to the Ritva, there is an obvious reason, and the Ritva fits in very nicely with the Mahalach that we have chosen this morning. Now I want to tell you something very interesting. A Maisa, story time. In Tovshin Mendalad, in the year 1984, Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, came to New York with his Ashkenazi colleague, the chief rabbi, Rabbi Avrom Shapira, as he was then. And Rabbi Avrom Shapira was a Kohen. And they visited many places, and many rabbis. And amongst the rabbis they went to visit was the late Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechuso Yogein Olenu. And when they were talking to him, he turned to Rabbi Shapira and he said, you've been a Chutz Loretz now for a few weeks. How does it feel not to do the mitzvah of Birchas Kohenim? Well, it must be difficult for you not to do the mitzvah of Birchas Kohenim every day as you do in Yerushalayim. A Kohen does a mitzvah every day. It's like for a Yisrael not putting on tefillin almost, you know, for a few weeks. Strange. So he raised the issue. So Rabbi Shapiro responded, and how is it for you, Rabbi, to be in Chutz Loretz and never to receive Birchas Kohenim every day? So the Rebbe said to him, I'll tell you. The Gemara says, in Soita Daf Lamed Chesom and Beis, Beis HaKnesses Shekula Kohenim, Lemi Mevorchim, Kula Meinim Leduchanim Mevorchim. A synagogue which is comprised exclusively of Kohenim, all of them go up to the Duchanim bench. Lemi Mevorchim, who did it bless? Lachem Shabbat Sodis. In Yerushalmi it says, Lachem Shabbat Sofen and Lachem Shabbat Doran. To the north, to the south, in every direction. That means the bracha isn't excluded to the people in the shul. It travels even to the Sodis where there are people who had to go to work early on a weekday and start work. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute, the people in the Sodis, what are they doing there? If they're in the Sodis, they're not included in the bracha. Amsha Choyre HaKoyanim Eino Bechal Bracha. Those Yisraelim who don't place themselves facing the Koyanim are not included in the bracha. So the Gemara answers, Hoda Anisi, Hoda Lo Anisi, depends. If they could be there, then they're not included in the bracha. If they couldn't be there, then they are Anusim, subject to circumstances beyond their control, and therefore they are included in the bracha wherever they are. So he said, look, the Gemara doesn't give any geographical limitations how far the blessing flows. So presumably, there is no limitation. So if it goes to the Tzofen, and it goes to the Dorim, and it goes to the Sodis, it can come to Brooklyn as well. So therefore, I don't have a problem, because I still get the blessing from the Kohanim who give the bracha in Eretz Yisroel. But you, who are a Kohen, and a Kohen has a mitzvah to be Mevorech, you can't be Yotzer the mitzvah to be Mevorech by the fact that you're receiving the blessing from the Kohanim and Eretz Yisroel. You have to actually be Mevorech. So it's a different story. But I think that this is a very important thing to remember, because many times when we go to Eretz Yisroel, we're reminded of the fact that in Eretz Yisroel, the bracha takes place every day, and we feel a little bit crestfallen when we come back to London, and for amongst other reasons, of course. And one of them is the fact that we no longer have Bechas Kohanim. But if we think of this, actually, we are Bichlal Bechas Kohanim. We are included in the bracha. Now, there are various explanations as to why we need to have Birchas Kohanim. I mean, there's so many tefillahs and things that we do. What is the inyan of Birchas Kohanim? So we find in some sforim that the idea of Birchas Kohanim is like this. Every day, Bichlal, we say, Mezonos of Shalom Ksuvim Leim Rosh Hashanah Adin Kippah. Everything is fixed already on the high holidays. It's been decided. So what do you need to daven every day? But the answer is, sometimes you have like coupons which are allocated for each individual. And if on that day you're not zeicha, they remain there for you, but you won't get them. They'll be kept for you la'acha me'v'esum shona. So you need to daven every day that the vitality that has been allocated for your soul, or for your guf, should actually come down. But when it comes down, it can get stuck, because on every stage there are hicholois and dinim. There can be all sorts of spikes in the wheel. And the shefa, the flow of abundance, can be held up. The idea of Birchas Kohanim is to expedite the process so that it goes through all the bureaucracy without any obstruction whatsoever. Aharon, the word Aaron, who was the Kohen Gadol, is Rosh HaTevas Nira. Things become visible. Osius Nira. Things become visible straight away. We also find that the Aaron is Makal Shoked, who was represented in Shkedim. And Shkedim, the almonds are the fruit, which Chazal say, based on the Novi Yirmiya, Makal Shoked and Yireh, Kesheked and Yaldvori LaSoysoy, that it's the quickest fruit from the time of blossoming till the time of growth. That from Rosh Hashanah to Shmini Atzeres, 21 days. So therefore, the purpose of Birchas Kohanim is to make sure that the Shefa Elyon, which is Niktzav for each person and his Neshama, should come down Chish Mahe, swiftly, without any delay, without any obstruction. So Kein Tiyelonu, we should appreciate the fact that we are included every day, but as we approach the Yom Tov of Chag HaShavuos, where we tune in to Birchas Kohanim with our very ears and with our very selves, it's clearly v'yasa se'es or v'yasa ro'es with greater intensity and greater effect. So therefore, on this occasion, it should taka be that the brachos, which we daven on Rosh Hashanah, and for which we daven every day, should come down, should be yored lemato, to be translated into Bonei, Chaye, Mazoine, all the various blessings that we daven for, speedily and without any delay.